Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It's great to have you with us today. Today we are going to be talking about a very interesting topic, which is calcium. Everybody says, I have a stomach ache, I've been indigestion. I take Tums all the time, and that's what my doctor recommended. And furthermore, they say, don't you see all the commercials in the magazines and on television? Milk is a great thing, and we should get more dairy. Then there was a push about yogurt. Yogurt in your smoothies, yogurt in your food, yogurt in almost everything you could possibly think of. Push, push, push for dairy and calcium. And now they also talk about all the greens. How much calcium can you get into your green smoothie drink? Overloaded. And then we wonder, why are people still not feeling better? Why is heart disease, osteoporosis, kidney disease on the rise? Why is fibromyalgia off the wall these days? And there's no reason for it. There's no explanation for it either. And really what we've really come to decide is what's really going on here? The doctors are saying one thing, media says another, the internet says another, and hey, you're really left up to your own. Today my guest is Dr. Thomas Levy. He is a physician, cardiologist, and author, and he's going to be sharing about his new book, Death by Calcium. And he's really going to be telling us about what calcium is, how it moves through the body, and how it really influences disease conditions. But even further, are we always just we see a number of something low on a lab test. Hey, my calcium's low. Take calcium. Vitamin C is low. Take C. We just keep putting these things in because we see it, quote, as low without even finding out how did it even get low in the first place. And that's what Dr. Levy will be sharing about today. Dr. Levy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
I'm pleased to be on your show, Jeanette.
Well, thank you so much. Dr. Levy, calcium, we see it all the time. Everybody says, I'm just take it all the time. Well, you know that old wives' tale, when you're over 40, you just start taking it everywhere you can get it. And even when you're in the hospital, they always bring you calcium, on every single tray. You have to drink your milk, and they check it off. And it was even stranger, and I'll share this with Dr. Levy, he hasn't heard this story, but just recently a client of mine had shared that she was in a rehab facility. All of the people there were for heart conditions or broken bones, and they were all elders, meaning over 65. And here was their lunch. Their lunch was grilled cheese, it was milk, it was ice cream. Their breakfast was cereal with milk and yogurt. And when they had for dinner, they had more cheese, and then they had frozen yogurt afterwards. And I went, oh, my, really? They're just on a calcium high. So, Dr. Levy, isn't that story crazy?
Yeah, and I'm sure sandwiched in between that were several supplements that had calcium in them as well.
Probably. And they're just that, you know, we look at this and we think that, you know, that's a good thing. So how did you even get started on, you know, going down this road of looking at calcium? Because we, you know, of course, everything around us, the dogma around us, all professes just the opposite.
Well, really, about 20 years ago, Dr. Hal Huggins, the maverick dentist that got things started against mercury and later against root canals, he's since passed, I was working with him. I was going to say he was working with me. And I had occasion to have a root canal taken out by him, and he did a large profile on me of blood work and also a hair analysis. And he showed me that my level of calcium in my hair was astronomical. And I wasn't really even a calcium ingester. I actually personally not liked milk my whole life. I've never taken it as a beverage. And I was a little bit confused by it, but I said, well, he said, well, there's a lot of reasons why you accumulate calcium. He said, but you need to get it out. And on the supplement regimen that he put me on, I gradually normalized my hair calcium, but it took several years to do it. But suffice it to say, that got me into thinking that, hey, you know, maybe calcium's not so good for you after all. And I started doing my research, and I probably could have written the book 10 years ago, but it wouldn't have been nearly as good now, because in the last 3 or 4 years, we finally accumulated some studies. Well, I call them smoke and gun studies. They pretty much, if somebody has a totally objective, open mind and they're not just interested in marketing sales pitches from the dairy industry, we pretty much now have smoking gun evidence that increased calcium intake in terms of increased dairy, particularly drinking of milk, and any form of calcium supplementation substantially increases your chance of death from all causes. And in one study, 70,000 women, they showed that the ones with the highest calcium intake by these two mechanisms had 2.5 times greater chance of death than those at the lowest levels. And as the book outlines, there's a whole host of supporting evidence to this. So we're not just hanging our hat on this one study by any means. It's very clear, and I'm sure we'll get into it, that when you get just above a very small normal level of calcium inside your cells, you start to precipitate virtually all of the chronic degenerative diseases that we know.
And, you know, calcium, as it shows up on so many different types of form of imaging, it is easier to pick up. You know, so many times people will say, there's this little white speck, what is that? And if you've ever gone to some physicians who may have not really, as we say, read the book, or who are not enlightened or not open to having a discussion, they are just, oh, it's just the x-ray. Oh, I don't know. It's just something, you know, on the film. Or it's really nothing, you know, that's just something passing through you. And I'm sure you've heard all of those stories before, right?
Oh, sure. And what the listeners should realize is that there's a lot of tests they do now, radiological tests, CAT scans, et cetera, that show these calcium deposits. And they're so frequent in people mm-hmm. above the age of 40 and almost right. universal among people older than 60 that many doctors consider it part of normal aging. Well, let me right. disabuse everybody of that fact. There is nothing ever normal about calcifying any part of your body. And that's exactly what this is, because these little spots are actually little rock-like deposits of calcium, because you got your calcium concentration so high, you got a local area of inflammation or infection or cancer, as the case may be, and the calcium starts to precipitate, just like it precipitates in caves, the stalactites and the stalagmites. It's basically the same substance. That's never normal inside the body. And then once that starts to accumulate inside the cells, then you're really going downhill fast with regard to diseases, because calcium in excess inside the cells is a final common denominator to just about every disease process that we know. In fact, when you look at a coronary artery calcium score, which is a CAT scan of the coronary arteries that shows you how much calcium is precipitating inside your arteries, it gives you a score, 0, 50, 300, etc. This was originally done in order to try to track the likelihood of somebody's chance of a heart attack, and it's very good at that. But what has since been realized is that this calcium, coronary artery calcium score, is really an indirect marker for excess calcium throughout your body, because it's now been shown that the higher this coronary artery calcium score is, the higher your chance of death from all causes, which means this is something that's taking place in all the cells of the body, because it affects all diseases and not just heart disease.
Yes, and that's always the concept of, just because you find it in one place in your body does not mean it's not precipitating in others. So many times people will say, oh, but that's, you know, I only found it here, we're only going to worry about here. But it's also the factor of the physician that you're at, or the condition that you're looking at, where they will just focus on that. So what you're really talking about also, I really encourage people to read your book, which is Death by Calcium. It's really that if you see it in one place, there's a very high chance it's all throughout your body, because we aren't pieces, you know. Just because calcium shows up in the blood vessels around your heart does not mean it's not in the blood vessels in your toe, or the blood vessels in your kidney, or in your prostate, or maybe coming out of your bones. And that's so vitally important to know.
And of course, not just blood vessels. This is precipitation anywhere in the body, because you were mentioning cancer there.
Right.
They had one study that when they were able to do a super refined computed tomography examination of patients, men that had prostate cancer, they found microcalcifications in 24 out of 25. Okay, same thing with breast cancer. Okay, how do they find breast cancer? They find it by the microcalcifications on your breast. Many years ago, probably 15 years ago now, in the New England Journal of Medicine, they came out with a study that, to paraphrase the title, so I don't be accused of misquoting, women with the highest bone density have the highest incidence of breast cancer. Now, bone density, gee, that's something good, isn't it? I mean, more bone density means stronger bones, the bone density scores, etc. Well, yes, in and of itself, bone density is wonderful, but when you're looking at a modern population, the women that have the highest bone density are going to be those that are supplementing the most calcium supplements. And even though it made the bones a little denser, not stronger, but denser, it also means a lot more calcium was being deposited throughout the body. Because that's what we now know about osteoporosis, is all the doctors like to say osteoporosis is a deficiency of calcium in the bones. And yes, there's a very severe calcium deficiency in the bones. Lots of other things, but calcium as well. But then they imply that to mean, well, that must mean you have a calcium deficiency in your body. And the exact opposite is true. The very fact that you have osteoporosis means you're literally dissolving your bones, and you will, if you will, in an oxidative fire, oxidation, it releases the calcium. Some of it gets excreted, and a lot of it continues to get deposited in the tissues. And then when we just focus on this idea that calcium is what we need for osteoporosis, all we do is feed this fire. We don't make good bone, yet we continue to put extra calcium in the tissues and actually increase substantially the incidence of heart disease and cancer in those patients that are supplemented.
You know, and when I speak with clients, sometimes I have to take the story a little bit simpler. And what I usually try to liken it to is if you take a piece of like silk, and the silk has some porous, and you want to be able to pour water through one side, and it can also come back through the other way. So for those listeners, that's how cells should work. Things should go in, things should go out. That's how it should happen. Now, let's say if you've got some calcium, which is a little bit larger molecule, and what it does is it will start filling up a few of these little pinpoints in that silk. So then a little bit less will go in and a little bit less will go out. And what will eventually start to happen is you will get these little tiny beads of like precipitate on the silk. What will happen then is that the silk will start to tear or it will get hard. And what you will find is that now instead of getting 2 quarts of water through the same amount of silk, you're now getting 2 cups through that same amount of silk. So then that cell no longer can do what it's supposed to do. That's really what we're talking about, because same thing with the blood vessels. That's happening. Things do not go in and out. Cells, things don't go in and out. Kidneys, same thing. And even now when we talk about the bones. So let's say if we've got that same piece of silk and it might have put a really dent in it, we would say, okay, then what we're going to do is that little hole there, we're going to pop it up. We're going to make ourselves some synthetic little precipitate. We're going to plop it in there. Well, it didn't change how things go in and out. All it did was maybe make it heavier or make it really dysfunctional in the longer run. So when you say denser bones are better, not really, because you're putting another part of something in there that wasn't doing the perfect job in the first place. It's almost like putting super glue into something and then the shoe gets kind of stiff. That's what we're talking about. And I think that's just a simpler way of saying it. Sometimes people say, okay, now I got it, how things should go in and out. Now tell me, what should I do with that?
Well, the thing about denser bone is if you have denser bone and your bone has gotten denser because you've just had a more quality diet, that's an indication of positive bone growth. But when you have denser bone because you've taken a large amount of calcium supplements, it's a cosmetic effect only, kind of like putting fresh paint on a rotten fence. The fence looks better, the fence looks denser, but when you lean on it, it still breaks. And even when you get this quote-unquote denser bone, which is really just denser in terms of this particular test that they do to look at the density of the bone, you haven't done the most important thing, which you haven't changed the possibility of a fracture. Calcium supplementation by itself does nothing at all to decrease the chance of fracture. Some people might think they've seen a study where they saw that it does help. There's a few studies out there, but it's always when they combine the calcium with vitamin D, which is, of course, not really a study looking at calcium. It's a study looking at calcium and vitamin D.
Right.
And, in fact, vitamin D as a mono supplement, when you get it dosed into the right range, vitamin D does decrease the chance of fracture. So vitamin D is really, along with a quality diet, without a focus on dairy products, maintaining your vitamin D level, and it does. You do need to measure occasionally a blood level on vitamin D to see that it gets into the 50 to 70 nanogram per cc range. That's the range of the blood test. And when you do that, your vitamin D will see that you take up enough calcium from the diet and you assimilate into the bone. The only reason the blood test is important is because too little vitamin D increases all-cause mortality, too much vitamin D increases all-cause mortality. So you got to take it and you got to get it right.
Yes, and it's not just about taking it and just doing something random, saying, well, my neighbor said this product is good. Hey, I'm going to take it and I'm good to go. And also, you could be taking it and taking it and taking it and not reach that therapeutic dosage where you're even getting into acceptable levels that would actually do something for you. So you're actually just for lack of what we've always said in the past, is you're just peeing in the ocean those really good expensive supplements. You really need to get them up to a certain level where they're actually doing and overwhelming the system in your body to be able to do that therapeutic effect.
Well, I don't want to give people a shortcut so that they don't do it right, but I will say that most people will end up getting into an acceptable range on about 5,000 units of cholecalciferol and vitamin D3 a day. But as you mentioned, some don't absorb a lot, some absorb them extremely well, and even though it's not something you need to do frequently, but you do need to check early on with your physician, obviously, that the level, the amount of vitamin D3 that you're taking is getting you into the level that you want to be, because, wow, having a correct amount of vitamin D circulating in your blood is one of the most important things you can do to not only maintain your health, but to prevent cancer.
And also, you said you have a very low amount of 500 milligrams on calcium, where you're saying, you know, at 500 milligrams, a 30% increase in heart attack and a 20% increase in stroke. I mean, 500 milligrams, some people pop that, you know, in just the morning, or, you know, because that's what they think they should be doing.
Well, as you mentioned at the outset, where you started talking about antacids, things like Tums. I mean, that's pretty much pure calcium carbonate, and one Tums, especially the extra strength one, I think is 500 to 750 milligrams of calcium. So if you're taking care of your stomach upset with Tums, my goodness, and you're taking your calcium supplement, and you're having milk on a regular basis, and you have a high focus on dairy, you are absolutely drowning yourself in a sea of calcium.
Yeah, you're in doo-doo land. Things are going to start firing like there's nobody's business, right?
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, sometimes it's really hard to come off of, too, because I do believe there is a tipping point for a lot of these health conditions, and we all know what they are. It's called death. But sometimes some people reach that very prematurely, you know, and they say, well, why did that happen? Why did that happen? And they're out fighting for these answers. And the answer is, you know, next. You know, the answer is you can do the best you can do. But if you're constantly fighting against the institution that your body is saying, I really need something else, and you demand, you know, it's sort of like they're going to eat a healthy breakfast and they're going to eat the crappiest dinner and they're going to drink all night, right?
Well, you know, and I don't say this, I hope I don't say this arrogantly or cynically, but just as calmly and matter-of-factly as possible, the healthcare consumer has to appreciate that their trusted docs, not intentionally, are 180 degrees wrong on so many things. And if you just decide that the only thing you want to do is just blindly put your faith into the hands of your healthcare practitioner, then you're rolling the dice. You might get a really great one who's on top of everything and following all the things and open to new changes and this, that, or the other. That's wonderful. But, I mean, you have other docs that, in spite of a huge amount of information, such as the summarized in this book, they still say take calcium. They still say fluoridate your teeth. They still say have your infant get 50 different vaccinations within a few days. I mean, the healthcare consumer, if they don't want their bodies to be treated like guinea pigs, they have to take the initiative to educate themselves. And I want to add this. Most of the stuff out there, all you need is a little common sense. I mean, the science out there that's for something or against something is really not that difficult to fathom if you take a few moments, ask a few questions. And if you have a healthcare practitioner who gets defensive when you ask questions, you got the wrong healthcare practitioner.
Right. And when they threaten you and say they're going to drop you, that's when it's time to go, too. So many times I've heard people say, but they'll drop me, so I can't say anything.
Well, yeah, you're better off being dropped.
You're better off being dropped.
Yeah,
you could probably
just do
as much for yourself, I think, in the first place, and try to take your time and find someone else.
Well, I'm a board certified cardiologist and internist, and I've been all through the traditional training, and I've done most of everything that an internist and a cardiologist does. And I'm not going to say that, you know, prescription medications are never of use. There's definitely
right.
prescription medications of extreme value, but also, in my opinion, not that many. I mean, we need things like the high blood pressure drugs and anti-anginal agents to deal with chest pain, to deal with high blood pressure. But as you look through the book, you'll see there are some very straightforward recommendations on the type of supplements you should take and how much you should take of them and how you should track whether or not you're mobilizing the calcium out of your body and decreasing your chances for disease. And none of these involve prescription medicines. That doesn't mean that you might not have conditions at this point in time that need it, but you should seriously consider beginning and establishing the foundation of your healthcare therapy with supplements that are absolutely vital to your good health. And I'm talking magnesium, I'm talking vitamin C, I'm talking vitamin K, I'm talking vitamin D. Those are the big four. There's a lot of other things you can take that are very important, but those big four are really critical, and an extensive amount is written on each one of these four things in the book.
And I think our modern lifestyle has really depleted these first four hitters, I think, right off the bat. And all of the chronic disease that's been coming up, it's really seemed like it's been an evolutionary kind of thing, you know, with vitamin C not being in the sun, but sun is not the only place you get it from. But also, too, you know, sometimes they say you can't get enough sun to get enough D. Well, while that is true, but also, too, we have to look at we're stressed. We could burn out a full amount of daily D in just 10 minutes by sitting there screaming at our kids and our husband, tearing our house apart, looking for our keys, right? So if you're burning out all of these vitamins all along the realm of C's and D's, you know, and even the magnesium, we're getting really crazy. All of these vitamins are a working machine. So if they're all getting expended rather quickly with our lifestyle and what we choose, then the amount that we need is a whole lot more based on our lifestyle than it might have been maybe in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, no, I think that's very true. The important thing to remember also is the importance of magnesium specifically. And again, this is discussed at some length, but I mean, we've been talking about calcium, and we've been talking about how increased levels of calcium, both inside and outside your cells, mm-hmm. is one of the single strongest promoters, non-specifically, of all chronic degenerative diseases. Whatever disease you have in the affected tissue inside those cells, you have too much calcium. That's just the way it is. So it begs the question then, how do I get that calcium out, and how do I keep it too much from getting in? And one of the big ones is the natural calcium antagonist, magnesium. Magnesium is the yin and calcium is the yang. If you've got too much calcium, by definition, you've got too little magnesium. You can't have too high of both at the same time because of their antagonistic actions toward each other. Magnesium not only helps prevent calcium from accumulating inside the cells, it also helps dissolve these calcium deposits that we're talking about that are seen so commonly in x-ray procedures in people over the age of 50. So magnesium is like really super critical in probably along with vitamin C. I would put magnesium and vitamin C. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to tell, even though maybe your listeners know I've written a lot about vitamin C, but those two are like pretty much co-equal in importance. I mean, it's hard to say one is clearly more important than the other. In the book, as an example, there were two studies I ran across when I was doing the research for the book, and they absolutely stunned me. They still stun me. And these two studies looked at coronary care patients, and they were given intravenous magnesium. One group was given 24 grams over 24 hours, steady infusion. The other group was given 36 grams over 36 hours, steady infusion. And that was it. No more magnesium, no more anything. And they followed these patients up to 5 years. I don't know. The effect might have been longer, but they followed them 5 years. And at 5 years, this one-time treatment with very high-dose magnesium decreased their all-cause mortality. It decreased their chance of death from everything. I mean, you can't take a little vitamin D or a little vitamin C or a little vitamin K one day and get an effect that lasts 5 years. But apparently, in these two studies, when you're able to get enough high-quality magnesium inside your body, you had a prolonged beneficial effect for a full 5 years, which obviously points out the fact of it being so important to take on a daily basis.
And also of it being such a therapeutic dose that it actually shocked the system back into doing what it was supposed to be doing in the first place. You know, maybe something had totally was inhibiting it, and once you've overshot that, it just brought everything back into balance. Things can start working again.
Yeah, it's puzzled me as to what the mechanism could be to be a good that long, but at least in general terms, I would agree with what you said. It was a very large dose. It overwhelmed some sort of barrier and got the cells working more efficiently, perhaps detoxing or excreting their metabolic waste products better, and it had the sustained effect. But all I know was extremely compelling information.
Let's talk, Dr. Levy, a little bit about vitamin C, because so many people say they're getting it through their smoothies. We all know that how that goes. And, you know, the quality of vitamin C, the amount of vitamin C, you know, and then you have doctors who are saying, no, you don't want to take it. You can't take it. But then there's also a lot of these companies who are sticking it in everything, and it's a form of citric acid. The vitamin C form is something that's not even of a quality form. It's sort of a synthetic product.
Well, let me say, since I did go to the effort to write a very long and extensive section in this book on the guide to the optimal administration of vitamin C, because I'm going to give you an answer to your question, but it's not going to be nearly as detailed as it should be, because there's a lot of different nuances to taking vitamin C. So that's available there. What I will say is that when the processes are done correctly, this is one situation where it's really not important to differentiate between natural or synthetic vitamin C. The ascorbic acid molecule is the ascorbic acid molecule is the ascorbic acid molecule, and that's what the research has been done on for some 80 years now, is pure ascorbate, either sodium ascorbate or ascorbic acid. Now, you have a lot of people out there, and I'm going to impugn their motivations and say they're doing it to sell their product, because they not only say you need to take a natural health complex vitamin C, but they also say things that are thoroughly asinine, like ascorbic acid is not vitamin C. Well, that's what Dr.
Right.
Albert St. George discovered. That's what he isolated. And that's what he got the Nobel Prize for, and that's what's been used in thousands of studies, over 60,000, as a matter of fact, since the 1940s. Now, having said that, it's very important for general health to maintain as good a broad-spectrum matrix of quality antioxidants or nutrients as possible. Vitamin C is just sort of, if you will, the king of the hill, the top of the list. But vitamin C will be more effective for you if you have a lot of other antioxidants on board as well. So some of these manufacturers that make a whole food C complex, and it's got rutin and bioflavonoids and all these other antioxidant components, yes, that's a good product. The only problem is it's compounded in such a way that it's made the vitamin C needlessly expensive and doesn't really allow you to effectively take the much larger amount of vitamin C that you should be taking. Mm-hmm. So I've got nothing against those problems, those products per se, but when these manufacturers, and I'm sorry, hucksters, try to tell you that ascorbic acid and sodium ascorbate is not vitamin C, they're either extraordinarily stupid, deluded, or just dishonest.
You know, it's been so interesting because I live here in the Deep South. The soda aisle, which is, you know, it's the left and the right side of an entire grocery store aisle here. But you can find at least one-third of the sodas that all say antioxidants are added. And you're going, what the heck? You know? And how can they possibly put it in soda? But then the people believe it and they buy it. And then you just say, okay, now that is really far end of spectrum. Let's come back to reality and let's start looking at what things are really supposed to mean. And should you really be doing that soda with those antioxidants? And the answer is emphatically no.
Well, I'm some of them, of course, you know, have antioxidants added because they want to make it look like a nutrient soda. But one thing that vitamin C has been used for eons for is a natural food preservative. And so you will see perhaps these sodas and lots of other things that say, you know, a preservative or ascorbic acid added for freshness, et cetera. And that's because when anything goes bad, it goes bad because of one reason and one reason only, because of oxidation. And so when you have a significant amount of an antioxidant present inside a confined or sealed-off system, you can usually keep it from going bad, also known as oxidation, for an extended period of time.
So, Dr. Levy, let's in the last half of our show, let's talk a little bit about vitamin K. Because with vitamin K, it's really something that I can tell you, if you had a room of 100 people, depending on the area in which you live, if I had a room of 100 people and I lived in Arizona, probably 90% would know what I'm talking about. But here in the South, you have a room of 100 people, you might have one. And, you know, maybe in different areas in different parts of the country, it depends on what you're exposed to. So share a little bit about vitamin K, what it really does, and why is it so vitally important that you included it in this book?
Well, vitamin K is a remarkable molecule insofar as, along with magnesium and vitamin C and vitamin D, it's a primary regulator of calcium metabolism at the cellular level. And it's been well documented that you can have pre-existing calcium deposits, even hard rock-like deposits. And if you take enough vitamin K, you can start dissolving those deposits and getting the excess calcium excreted out of your system. At the same time, not only does vitamin K mobilize abnormally deposited calcium, it also facilitates the normal incorporation of calcium into bone. So at the same time it takes calcium out of abnormal sites, it helps put the calcium in the sites where it's needed. Then on top of that, you take a look at the studies, and this is something I didn't mention earlier, so I'll mention at this point in time, both vitamin magnesium, vitamin C, vitamin K, and vitamin D. Each one of these four things as a monosupplement, if that was the only thing you took, will decrease all-cause mortality. So you can't say that about many things, that if you take a lot of it, it's going to decrease your chance of death from all causes. So you add to that as well, vitamin D taken out of the formula, magnesium, vitamin C, and vitamin K are individually and collectively about the three least toxic things that you can take. I say least toxic, I got to say, I know of no toxic dose for vitamin C. I know of no toxic dose for vitamin K. And magnesium can only really be made toxic if you take an extremely large amount of it intravenously too rapidly. So they have virtually all upside and no downside.
And if you look at it in some companies right now, the prime bone product that they have out there is just calcium and magnesium in a ratio of 1:1. And that's probably not going to benefit you if you have an excess, because you really need more magnesium to get mobilized. Also, too, there are in other companies that I've used, and which I still do, they really use a lot of K. And it really has seemed to improve the bone density much better than anything else that I've even used in the past.
Yeah, you know, it gets very frustrating that quality study after quality study comes out, but it still never gets incorporated in the mainstream thinking. I mean, many decades ago, we showed the toxicity of margarine and the benefits of butter. But do you think there's a single coronary care unit in the United States that gives its patient butter rather than margarine? No. What does it take to break through that thick wall of resistant ignorance? I don't know, because it's not enough to just put the paper in the literature. And this is one reason why I write books. I somewhat cynically say the best way to put a significant scientific discovery into a graveyard is to publish it in the literature and stop there. Because all of this information is in the literature. I try to pull it out, put it together in a meaningful fashion, and then put it together in a body as a book, and the book can sometimes, not always, of course, get a life of its own and finally allow not only individuals and patients, but physicians to, because, you know, physicians are busy. I'm not going to give them a complete waiver, but they are busy. And you know, when you're grinding away 50, 60 hours a week, you don't really want to come home on a Saturday afternoon and spend all your day reviewing the literature on PubMed. I understand that. But by the same token, you need to be open to developments when you see them, and just don't reject them summarily out of hand as being ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. There is no scientific evidence at all, zero, to show that calcium supplementation in any form is good for you, yet you still have so many doctors and patients clinging to this. So all I can do is try to present as much hard data and evidence as I can, reach what I consider to be my logical conclusions and present you my logical conclusions, and then you, the listener, the physician, do what you will. I've done what I can.
Yeah, I think that's why I've really been focusing on the radio show, because sometimes, you know, we say things so many different ways, and I think eventually the people will start to say, ah, now I understand what you're saying. It's sort of like, you know, when you go to a foreign country and you don't understand the language, but you've taken it for about a year, and all of a sudden they say one word that you might say, ooh, I know what that word is. You know what I mean? So then you feel like, okay, I can do this, you know, and then they start to figure out what it means. But I really think that that's really what it's taking these days, is that the world is changing so fast because so much information is really being shared. I don't think it... Granted, you know, there's a lot of new things coming out, but the information sharing, we're now able to get a lot more information from across the world and the country, from, you know, a minuscule scientist that's been holed up in his little corner, you know, to these great institutions that put their stuff out all the time. So really about sharing the information is really what's important. If you go to your doctor and you say, hey, doc, you gave me this last week or you said something about it, I don't understand it, but I found this. What do you think? I don't see anything wrong with that. And I think if, you know, share it with your physician, and the best physician will say, you know, I don't know, but I'll be happy to take it. Is this my copy? And I'll get back to you. You know, wouldn't that be possibly something that would be so life-changing?
Yes, it would. I got to say this. Whenever you feel like you have important information, I mean, you want to get it out now. You you know, in a way, this, out of the other. But things, like I say, progress by what I call micro-incrementalism. You just get a little bit at a time, and then a few years later, if you're lucky, you see some clear progress. Mm-hmm. One thing that has changed things forever, in my opinion, is, of course, the Internet. I mean, you now have a few notable physicians, for example, that can put together a quality newsletter, well-referenced, with some wonderful ideas, wonderful concepts, wonderful suggestions for treatment. And with one click of the mouse, they can go to 10 times more people than subscribe to the New England Journal of Medicine.
Right.
Now, this is significant because I could tell you 25 years ago, 30 years ago, if you had an idea, I mean, and you wanted to publish it, hey, if you just didn't get smiled upon by one of a handful of journals, the information just died. It went nowhere. Now, of course, there's a lot of misinformation out there, too. I mean, I'm not saying everything on the Internet is good, obviously not, but the Internet carries it all, and you, as the intelligent healthcare consumer, you have to see who makes sense and why they make sense, and then you cross-reference with a few other areas and see if they have any reasonable argument to contradict what you said, and you ultimately, you know, talk to your friends that you consider intelligent, if you're fortunate enough to have what you consider to be a really open-minded physician or healthcare practitioner. You can have a conversation with him or her. And let me tell you, if you've got the motivation and you're willing to spend a little time, you will end up treating your body a whole lot better, being healthier, and living longer.
And, you know, Dr. Levy, in the last 5 minutes or so, let's talk about calcium in teeth. You know, I come from a long, long line of working in the dental field. I was 35 years working in the dental field, and I'll tell you, the way things have changed, it is drastic if you've been paying attention. However, some of the concepts there are still kind of stuck in the muck. So calcium, and I mean, with calcium and fluoride, let's talk for a few minutes on that.
Calcium. Fluoride, like any other toxin, has long-term effects, and if you take enough of the calcium antagonists, like magnesium, and you avoid the calcium, something we didn't know before is you can mobilize and you can start to get rid of fluoride. That said, you're not going to get rid of the secondary damage that fluoride might have already done to your teeth. And that might come as a shock to some people, but another thing where it's just the opposite of what you're told. Does fluoride help your teeth? No, it actually breaks down the tooth structure, which is why individuals in high fluoride areas have mottled, ugly teeth. Again, that's a big issue, and I'm not going to get into why that would be or something like that. I would just say, you know, fluoride is not something you want to deal with if you have any options. It's also very important, aside from the mercury issues, is to avoid root canals. Root canals are little chronically infected areas that disseminate enormously potent pathogens and toxins throughout the body. And it is one of the things that alters the calcium-phosphorus ratio in your body such that calcium deposition is promoted. So we also have data now in a more recent book, The Toxic Tooth, that shows that the root canal-treated tooth is, along with infected gums, the cause, direct cause, cause and effect, not correlation, of the vast majority of heart attacks. Because a group of researchers in Finland in 2013 actually suctioned out at angiography, the blood clots that were causing acute heart attacks in individuals at their facility, and they used polymerase chain reaction testing, a very sophisticated, very sensitive testing, to look at those blood clots. And they found that those blood clots contained 16 times as much of the DNA that is found in root canal-treated teeth and infected gums as in the surrounding blood. So, you know, you don't just get a blood clot in your heart and then suddenly it accumulates pathogens. I mean, that's cause and effect. Mm-hmm. The pathogens were there, and they triggered the reaction. And it's a very large topic to try to just cover in a few sentences, but Dr. Kulatz and I put all this information into another book, The Toxic Tooth, which if you're a heart patient and you have a root canal or any other infected teeth, you don't need to look much further as to why you have your heart problem. I might also add, I've run across some recent information that indicates to me how important thyroid function is whether or not infections become a problem. So, and this is covered in Death by Calcium as well, it's very important as part of your total health protocol, not just blindly directed at mobilizing calcium, but at a total health protocol to be balanced in your thyroid hormone, and to be balanced if you're female in estrogen or if you're male in testosterone, because all three of those things, when they're chronically low, increase all-cause mortality. And that really is the ultimate of any particular paper or study is, you know, let's do away with the BS. If I do this, am I going to live longer or not? Well, that's what these studies are saying. If you're low in this, you live shorter. If you have normal levels of it, you live longer.
And it's such a confounding thing for some patients to be able to say, I have absolutely no idea where to start. And I think what we've talked about today is a few places where you can start on your own. And, you know, we all know that everybody waits until they hit that wall, you know. It just depends if when you hit that wall you explode or whether you're still standing. You know, that's really the most important part, you know. So, like, just kind of like look where you're going if you're on that road. And make some changes.
Well, let me say that you make a good point. I need to offer people some options, and so I will say that it's evolved over the years. But my website not only has my books on it, but it also has a resource section so that people can have at least a starting point to find a dentist to work with, to find a physician to work with, and. A bunch of other articles I've written on these subjects that can perhaps give a little bit of further help there. And it's a very simple website. It's peakenergy.com. Two words, peakenergy.com. And that can at least perhaps push you in the right direction to begin your own little personal quest to try to get a hold of your health.
Absolutely. And Dr. Levy, you're also on an upcoming lecture series. Can you share a little about that?
Jonathan Landsman, and probably the website there to take note of is naturalhealth365, naturalhealth365.com. Jonathan, I've written some articles for his website for a long time. He runs a great website and brings out a lot of health issues that I'm not even aware of, and I learn a lot of stuff there as well. And over the past couple years, after a lot of conversations with me and others, Jonathan realizes how incredibly important dental toxicity is in just about all disease, and how important it is to address it if you ever hope to be healthy again. And he's going to, I think it's a webinar. You can tell me,
mm-hmm.
Jeanette.
It's going to be a series. Mm-hmm.
Series of, I'll be doing interviews with him, and some 30 plus other people will, talking about all the different aspects of dental toxicity, dental infections, and their impact on general health. And the place to go again would be naturalhealth365.com, and my website, peakenergy.com.
Well, Dr. Levy, it was a pleasure to have you with us today. You know, so many people say, but I'm leaving it up to my doctor. You know, even here in the South, there used to be billboards. I took pictures of them, and it was an elderly woman, and across the top it said, "Do what you want to do," and on the bottom it said, "Because so-and-so hospital has my back." And I went, oh, man, I don't think so. So
yeah.
We want to rephrase that and say, do what you should do, because you don't want to be having the responsibility there, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Levy. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure being here. I hope I was able to pass along a little info to some folks there.
Great. Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Levy, his link is on the bottom of today's show page, and you can click on there and go directly to his website. He does have a lot of information there. There's Death by Calcium. There's also the Peak Energy. And please do check out the upcoming Health Oral Summit, which he has spoken about with Jonathan, because it is really going to be a great session talking all about dental health and dental toxicities. So thank you so much for joining us today, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.